My name is Liz Kirkus from Catskill, and you're listening to WGXC ACRA Catskill and Hudson.
Hi, I'm Al Criazzo. Catskill Mountain Housing is looking to help income-qualified homeowners in Greene County. We have funding available from the state of New York to pay for your needed repairs, like a new roof or a furnace replacement. Whatever you need to keep your house a safe, secure, and affordable environment for your family, call me at area code 518-943-6700 or drop by our office at 448 Main Street in Catskill.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Mid-Hudson Cable, serving Columbia, Greene, and Southern Albany counties with digital cable, high-speed internet, and cable phone services for homes and businesses since 1971. Mid-Hudson Cable, all the right connections on the web at mhcable.com.
I am Andy Reid.
And I'm Mike Porter.
You're listening to Catskill Cabin Conversations, which is aired on the third Tuesday of each month from 2 until 3 p.m. on WGXC ACRA 90.7 FM.
On each show, invited guests will be asked to discuss a number of items that they intend taking with them on their Catskill Cabin getaway. As we discuss their chosen items, it is hoped that you, the listener, will enjoy getting to know that person a little bit better. Today's guest is Francis X. Driscoll. Francis is an award-winning nature photographer whose work has appeared in many publications, including National Geographic Explorer and Cynthia Dancik's art book, 100 New York Photographers. He grew up in the Bronx, where he experimented with photography as a teenager, and he eventually went on to travel the country, settling in California and working in the film industry as a grip. When he returned to the East Coast, he found his way to the Catskill Mountains, and it was there that he took up photography on a regular basis and began to rediscover a talent only glimpsed in his youth. Over the years, he has captured some of the most iconic images of the Great Northern Catskills, and his work evokes a sense of understanding for what inspired the birth of the Hudson River School of Art nearly two centuries ago. Driscoll won a national award from the North American Nature Photographers Association for his piece Apple in Winter, which depicts a lone apple tree sitting amidst a snow-covered landscape and appearing to grip the snow that lays atop its branches almost as though to avoid the barrenness of the season. His piece Rainbow over Catterskill Clove, a shot taken from the top of a falls with a rainbow arching over the clove and the Hudson River Valley in the distance, is featured on the cover of I Love New York magazine. Driscoll is a self-taught photographer who practices total immersion in a setting so that he might capture that rare glimpse and share it with others. His primary subject is the Catskill Forest Preserve, and his best shots are often hard won through years of returning to the same place with a sense of expectation for the beauty that might be revealed to him on any given day. He shares his craft with others by leading hikes, conducting workshops, and giving private instruction, and his book, Images of the Northern Catskills, is a celebration of his work. Francis, welcome to the show.
It's nice to be here.
Welcome.
I have so many questions. My first question, what is a grip?
A grip is a person, anytime a camera gets moves or gets rigged or lighting gets rigged, like for car mounts also, helicopter mounts, for film, and that basically is done by a grip. Anytime lighting gets cut or screened on a film set, it's done by a grip. So you're up personal many times with right alongside the talent, the actors and the actresses. Right.
Did you ever get to ride on a helicopter?
Oh, yes.
Cool, filming stuff?
Yeah, I worked on an international Toyota commercial in Death Valley and around Death Valley and on in that area. And it was a transcontinental mileage test. And actually, I got to be in the commercial.
All right.
Yeah, because at the time I had hair, period. I had blonde hair and blue eyes, and I still have the blue eyes, but the blonde hair is gone. So they wanted me, and it was for Europe and Asia, the commercial. So they,
right. Yeah. Now, do you have any stories of any stars? You say up close and personal, do you have any
Oh, they swore me to secrecy. And then they,
any stars that look, you know, and appear to be beautiful on camera, but when you see them up close, you're like,
oh, no kidding.
You're not very good looking.
That's surprising.
most actors and actresses that I did meet look better in person.
Wow. Right.
Usually the personality shines through. Mm. And everybody, I never met anybody that had a nose up in the air or
acted
stuffy.
Because you do read on in newspapers and magazines and online and stuff like that, that, you know, of stories of stars being uppity and, you know, egotistical and stuff like that. So your experiences was the opposite.
Exact opposite.
Right. Interesting.
Yeah, thank God. Yeah,
well, in some respects, they know that they rely on you guys, don't they? Because you're the hammer that knocks the nail in many respects. If your camera's only working, then they're not going to look good.
Yeah, they have to be nice to us.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, speaking of cameras, your first song is Kodachrome by Paul Simon, and this named after the Kodak 35mm film Kodachrome. Why that song?
Well, for one thing, they don't make Kodachrome anymore that I know of. I happened to meet Paul Simon one time at Casco Mountain House. I was just hanging out there on a day trip, but a hike, and he happened to see him in a store, and I said to my girlfriend, "Let's leave him alone. Let's not gawk at him." And we walked away, went out on the porch, sat down, and he came out a couple of minutes later and sat right next to me, and I was going to tell him stop following me, but. But I always wanted to thank him for the song, because it when I was starting out in photography, a friend of mine who turned me on to it, turned me on to Kodachrome film, and it was a lot more vivid colors and stuff like that. I'm not sure if that was totally the meaning behind the song always for some people in the days of hippies and a lot of partying. Kodachrome might have been some of the colors in their eyes.
Lucy like, and this guy with diamonds.
Yeah. But meeting him, I forgot to say thanks for the song, because I always I'd be singing that song all the time when I was first into photography, you know.
So was he a nice fella when he sat down next to you?
I'm sorry?
Was he nice? Was he?
Yeah. We just talked about the weather. I didn't say, do you know who you are or anything like that.
Yeah, yeah.
I after working in the movie industry, I know that sometimes people like to get away from all that crap.
Yeah. That's why they come up to places like the Catskills.
Yeah, he was with his son, and his son hung out with my girlfriend's son feeding the fish at the side of the lake there. And,
right.
And we just, hey, how you doing? You
know, my brother had an experience. He is... certain that this was the person I'm going to speak about in a second. He was in southern Catskills, southern New York, and he was in this similar type of environment, you know, in this bar in a mountainous region, and there was pictures of like Paul Newman and stuff up, and he was sitting outside, and this was, you know, maybe early 2000s. And he was sitting, and my brother likes movies a lot, and he was sitting next to this old guy, and he said, "It's you, isn't it?" And the guy just laughed, and he went, "Don't know what you're talking about." But he was certain it was Paul Newman. And Paul Newman went inside, and then the barman came out and gave my brother and this other guy a pitcher of beer. Oh. And Paul Newman left. So he's convinced that he met Paul Newman, and Paul Newman bought him a beer.
Wow.
So, yeah. I mean, if that's true, then that's a great story, isn't it?
Yeah. Why don't we check it out? Kodachrome by Paul Simon. Read the writing on the
That was Kodachrome by Paul Simon. Great song. Now, we were talking before, well, during the song there, you were talking about some of your stories from the Bronx and surrounding areas. Would you like to... I told you to stop because I want you to tell it while we're on air.
I think we were kind of talking about... I can identify with Paul Simon a lot. Because he grew up in New York City. I grew up in New York City. I was from the Bronx, but he was from Queens. But I remember going out to Flushing Meadow, to this where the World's Fair was, and me and my friend from the Bronx, North Bronx, we used to try to pick up girls out there. And we'd
were you successful?
somewhat. I started going out with a girl from Queens, and I lived in the North Bronx, and I was spending most of my money on train fare, going back and forth, and me and my friend.
She must have been worth it then.
Sylvie Marabata, her father was Italian, her mother was French, but anyway, what we used to do is we'd take them to... free museums, and at the time all the museums art galleries were free, and we used to go to the art galleries, and I think you know, although we were going either with them or to try to meet other girls going to these places, but I think I was exposed to some real nice art and culture.
I was about to say that,
and I think some of it might have helped me appreciate art. And I think it might have, eventually influenced my photography. I think to be a good photographer, it helps to appreciate art. And I think one of the byproducts was being exposed to a lot of, nice art and culture in Manhattan, you know, and
right.
At the time, everything was free, and we didn't have much money after paying for the transportation back and forth.
Yeah.
So we take them to free spots.
You know, speaking of photography, the first item you're going to bring is a camera. And before you talk about a camera, I have a question for you guys. Francis? Well, let's start with Andy. Andy, film or digital?
I think this is kind of like the... You know, the CD, LP question, you know, do you prefer the old style or do you prefer the new style? I think we need to embrace digital. I don't know what you're going to say, Fran, but I find that as a layman photographer that I enjoy being able to take a photograph quickly and it looks quite good on a digital camera.
Yeah. Fran, film or digital?
Well, I guess in your industry, it's analog and digital?
With sound, yes. Yes.
Right. It's a bit, I consider it pretty similar. I think it's what you do with either one of them. Well, in fact, I know that, you know, I can mess up any picture, you know, whether it's with film or, you know. I only switched to digital when I could get some. I thought it was giving me something more than slide. I think the color depth in to be technical, if they allow me to do that. I think from my eye, the color depth, you know, how many shades of green or red or gray that you're going to get. I tend to think it's more with the slide film than with the digital. But I just figured that it would just be a matter of time before digital catches up with all that stuff. But the two pictures I brought today just to show you, both from slide film. I currently try to make my digital prints now look very similar to the slide films, the prints from slide film that I took years ago. I shoot all digital now.
Right.
Yeah. A couple things. Fran, you brought two gorgeous pictures and offered them to Andy and me and walked away for a second. And Andy and I are like, okay, how are we going to split these up? And Andy's like, you choose which one you want. And I was like, I want the apple tree with the snow, the one from your bio.
Yeah.
And Andy was like, that's the one I wanted. So we're going to have a battle royale after the show. It's a gladiator match out in the back.
There's more apple trees where that came from.
And you know, it's fascinating that the battle between film and digital, and not so much in photography, but in the film industry, there are some directors that really want to cling to film still. And I know Christopher Nolan, who does the Batman series and Interstellar and movies like that, they want to kind of keep film going. And I had the privilege of seeing the movie Interstellar on the IMAX theater in Rochester. It's like 5 or 6 story theater in 70 millimeter film. It was one of the only locations in the entire nation that showed the movie on film. And it was spliced such that there wasn't a trailer. They just started the movie because there was no, you know, digital films and stuff. You probably have the stuff preloaded and whatever. So, and it does have kind of a real gritty, I don't know. Digital does. It seems to be like this perfect, but almost artificial look. Maybe at times. I don't know. But that was just so cool. The 70 millimeter.
Interesting.
Film. So, anyways, Fran, you want to?
I've got some questions.
Yeah.
Well, some facts and questions. Do you know, both of you, that there are 12 Hasselblad cameras on the surface of the moon?
Oh.
Now, when they went to the moon.
Yeah.
They took 12 of these cameras with them, and they decided they wanted to take back some rocks from the moon. So they had to ditch the cameras. So there's 12 of these Hasselblad cameras on the moon. Did you know that?
I'm going.
You to the moon, cool. Hey, pretty soon, I bet you they're going to be sending commercial trips next 5-10 years.
Yeah, I only always wanted a Hasselblad, so maybe.
So there you are. Well, you know where to get one.
Yeah. Like, hey, can you pull over here? I want to pick up one of these cameras, please.
Now I'm going to test your hipster qualities now, Fran. Right, I'm going to ask you about lingo of cameras.
Oh, boy.
Right?
Oh,
good luck. Photography lingo. Right, so I'm going to test your knowledge. So, here are some photography slang words. And tell me if you know what they mean. Chimping.
Say that again?
Chimping.
Chimping.
Mike?
It's when Jane Goodall went through her photography phase, working with she was taking pictures strictly of chimps.
Chimping.
That's what I got.
Technically, it could be, but it's not. It's when you look at the pictures on the back of the camera, as soon as you've taken them, usually accompanied by lots of oohs and ahs. That's chimping.
Kind of like a monkey. Now,
next one. Dust bunnies.
Dust bunnies?
Yeah. Now, you'll probably know what this is, and you'll probably be annoyed by it, right? But this is what it's actually supposedly called.
It might be what the alien dust that I get inside my camera when I change the lenses. I'm not sure.
The man got it.
Nice.
The man got it. The extremely annoying dots of sensor dust that show up in the same place in photos after photos.
You should have seen how big my dog's hair was when I got inside my camera. It looked like a tree.
Right, Mike, you should know this one because it's kind of more recent. Spray and pray.
Just take like 50 pictures and hope one of them works out.
Yes. Yeah. Shooting tons of images without much attention, trigger happy, and hoping that one will turn out.
Yeah.
Right, this is the last one for both of you. It's an acronym. It's no a word. It's RTFM.
Really terrible... can't say... machine.
Well, you've got one word, right? I'll read it to you. A phrase which is used to yell at the people who ask multiple questions about their camera functions on internet forums. RTFM stands for Read the Friggin' Manual. And yes, yeah. One of the words is censored.
Yeah. It always is. Even Elon Musk, you know, we were talking about going to space and rocket trips. You know, the BFR, the big rocket. That's what they're calling it. Nothing fancy.
The BFR.
And also interestingly, they have the Falcon series rockets. Those are named after the Millennium Falcon from Star Wars.
Yeah,
that's why they say. Yeah,
apparently, Falcon. You know, have you heard that story about these young soccer guys and their coach who are stuck in this cave in Thailand or something?
Yeah, yeah.
Somebody, I don't know how true this is, but Elon Musk supposedly has sent a team to the area to try and work out if it's feasible to drill down.
Bore in there.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
And then bring them out, or at least pump in oxygen.
Yeah.
You know, I was reading about this article, about these poor folks trapped in the tunnel, and I read that at a gilded temple in Thailand's mountainous north, Ikapol Chanthawang, the coach of these kids, honed a skill that will serve him well as he sits trapped underground in a dark cave, and that is meditation. And I've been reading that he has been meditating with these kids, helping them to stay calm and get through this horrible ordeal. And I thought that was interesting because another item you're going to bring to the cabin is Touchstones, a book of daily meditations for men. So why that book?
Well, it's important to me. Well, every morning before I get on my computer or anything like that, I usually try to get my thoughts together, you know, slow down a little bit, usually chomping at the bit, ready to go out and do something. So
right,
I force myself to not do anything usually right away until I get some, maybe some pleasant thoughts in my head and try to keep myself going in a positive direction. There's enough distraction in the world that that might come my way during the
right and influence you negatively. And I don't mean negatively as in
the picture
negatives.
is there a favorite location you like to go to, Fran, or a favorite thing you like to, like, you get up in the morning, you want to go take some pictures? If you could go anywhere, where is it or what is it?
It changes day to day. It's usually, I have a general idea of what I want to do that day, and then the first thing I do is look at the weather.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Again, I looked at it the night before, and I look at the weather, what's possible that day, what might be, if it's overcast, I'll go one direction. If it's a bright, sunny day, I'll go in a different direction. Overcast, everything's evenly lit. You get a lot of shadows with direct sun. I usually try to start out, I try to wake up at about 5 o'clock every morning, whether I'm shooting or not, try to keep in that natural alarm clock in my head that I get up at that time and feel comfortable at that time. So when I do go shooting, I'm seeing very soft light, which I like, gives better color.
Yeah.
And it's easier to get exposures. So I wake up and I look at, what do you think will be nice today? And I go through my mental file system
Rolodex
that I have up here. Yeah. And what flowers are in bloom right now, or what colors, where's the leaves changing the best right now in the fall, all according to what time of year it is. And it's the roll of the dice. I take a chance and go in a direction.
Yeah, you know, I was recently up in the Adirondacks, hanging out with my wife and my in-laws and my father-in-law, Tom Antonov. He was a guest that we had early on. He was talking about, he's into photography, and he was talking about the golden hour, that time of day where there are no shadows and colors just pop, and there's this great clarity, this great time to take pictures. Narrow window, I guess.
Is that when the sun is in the middle of the sky?
No. The middle of the day is usually downtime for most photographers.
Right.
Although there's always exceptions to the rules.
Yeah.
But the soft light in the morning, it shows my wrinkles in my face on the mirror in the morning when it's from the side. But
you don't have many wrinkles in your face.
it's early in the morning, late in the afternoon.
Right. Kind of like fishing. You know, guys like to fish early in the morning dusk or dawn, don't they?
Kind of
the same concept you're describing.
I might catch something good, you know.
Have you ever caught like a... You know, and I would probably think it would be a fluke, but ever caught a fish jumping?
Porpoise, maybe off the coast of.
That'd be cool.
I was looking online and I saw this picture of a shark, and it was like the picture of the year for National Geographic, and it was the shark coming out of the water. It just looked
terrifying,
immense.
Scary.
It was just immense. This such a powerful picture. And I don't know if you saw it.
No, I don't think I missed it.
I'll show you it when we finish today. What a picture.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of what other fish I've seen. Down in Florida, I've seen some jumping fish, I'm sure. I'm not too into action photography that much. Still life is no money.
You know, we've been talking about cameras and photography. Fran, we didn't ask you, what type of camera would you take?
It would probably be my Canon 50D. It's 50 megapixel. It's a 5DS. It's a 50 megapixel. I tell people now I can make big mistakes.
50, like 50 megapixels? 50?
Yeah, 50.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot of pixels.
So is this a digital?
Yeah, digital.
Right.
So you could blow this thing up and make like giant posters if you wanted.
Yeah, and it you can cut out pieces and make 8x12s out of, you know, maybe you can I'm guessing maybe 28 by 12s out of one picture. You could cut out different sections that if you focus in correctly on those sections,
you can
blow them up really, really well.
That's really interesting.
Yeah. Really interesting.
If you expose it correctly. If you don't expose it correctly, then it ain't going to work.
Now, do you know of any photographers who are steadfast on using film and will never use a digital camera?
I used to hear of people like that. I don't hang out with too many groups of photographers, but I don't know of any professional photographers that are still doing that. Although I imagine there are some, but I still have E6 frozen in my refrigerator. I still have a film camera.
Frozen in your refrigerator?
Yeah, if you freeze film, from what I always did, I used to keep it in my refrigerator and many times frozen, so it would stop the aging process.
Did you know that?
Unexposed slide film.
Wow!
It has an exposure date on it. It always did have an exposure date on the package, but if you'd freeze it, you'd. So I used to buy a case at a time because I was shooting a lot. So I'd freeze some of it because the exposure date sometimes would be close, and I could buy a bunch and store it. So it stopped it from aging. Oh. And so it's still sitting there.
I learn something every day, don't you, Mike?
Yeah, it's really incredible. Yeah.
Interesting. Now, one more question. What's it like to win an award for your photography?
Well, most of the times I was more surprised than anybody that I got something like that. It's nice for my ego, that's for sure.
Right.
And since I've been selling my stuff, then it makes a difference to be able to say that. But it feels good that I was able to accomplish something.
Do you feel like it's basically, a reward for your hard work?
Yeah. The best, I guess the best feeling I've ever gotten is, has always been when I hold a picture up or show it to somebody or give a present to somebody, their reaction to
right.
it.
Right.
That feeling is a personal thing. The award is more I get a little mixed up on this one, but,
right.
It's kind of a mixed thing. It's good for my business.
Right.
To be able to say that.
That's
but,
a good point.
You know, what you read in the beginning of the film, beginning of this, in my bio is, there's fluff in there. That's out there for a commercial.
Yeah, what's life without a bit of fluff? Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm still a guy from the Bronx, in my head, that's what I... So I'm always surprised that... I tell my friends, pinch me. I never thought I would be doing what I do.
Yeah.
This is...
Well, that's great, because it means that you feel, fortunate and happy to be doing it and stuff like that. And that keeps you fresh. And you say every morning you've kind of got rituals where you need to be happy and you study the weather and all that. And that keeps you fresh and motivated to try and get the best picture all the time, as opposed to being lackadaisical.
It's nice to have a reason to get up and put my clothes on in the morning.
I have a bit of trivia to move us forward. Not really. It's a question. I'm sure you guys will get it. But, Andy.
Michael.
Stephen Stills was a member of what band before Crosby, Stills, and Nash?
Peter, Paul, and Mary.
Ding, 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 ding. That is correct. He played the triangle.
What is your name, Stephen?
Peter, Paul, Mary.
Peter, Paul, and Mary, and him.
Stephen. Fran, what do you say?
Yeah, Buffalo Springfield, not Beefalo Springfield. It's Buffalo Springfield.
That's right, Buffalo Springfield. And that's the band, your next song, For What It's Worth. So why that song?
Well, I by you guys giving me this list of things I was supposed to do, I've been going actually crazy in my warehouse in my head of all these things that I, songs.
Yeah.
And I have a million songs that mean something to me. But that song I came up with because when I first heard the song, I was all like pro-war during the Vietnam. It was the Vietnam era.
Yeah.
And I was was watching too many John Wayne movies, I guess. I'm not sure. But I was kind of pro-Vietnam.
Horse and drink your milk.
I wanted to join the Marines at the time with my friend. And by the end of that year, that song meant something totally different to me. Yeah. It was, you know, I had changed my attitude. You know, I have a lot of respect for anybody and everybody that did go over there and do what they did. But the anti-war song that that it was means a lot to me today.
Right, you know, right.
It,
do you mind me asking, what changed your attitude over the course of a year that...
Well, one of the things was my father wouldn't sign the papers so I could join the Marines. I was 17 years old. And he said to me, he was in the service, he goes, he just said, if, when you're 18, you can make your own decision. And then that next year, I heard friends that came back and with stories and that they what they had gone through, and it looked a lot. It lost its shine, you know. Yeah. Reality set in that this is serious, you know.
It's not a John Wayne
stuff.
Movie.
Yeah,
it's not a John Wayne movie.
So, you know, I may not come back. You know.
Yeah.
I may not be the hero, the live hero.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. I think it's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. 1,000 people in the street, singing songs and carrying signs. Mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Paranoia strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop. Now, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop. Children, what's that sound?
That was For What It's Worth by Buffalo Springfield. You're listening to Catskill Cabin Conversations on WGXC Acra. That's 90.7 FM. WGXC is community radio, so feel free to give at any time on WGXC.org.
Now, moving on, The Art of Nature Photography. Is that a book or is it a colouring in book?
I actually put the... Is it a what?
Is it an adult colouring in book? No, because I was looking online and that's what I found.
No. I made a mistake when I wrote this down.
That's why.
The Art of Photographing Nature by Art Wolf is right. The name of it.
Right. And Art Wolf, that's a kind
Art of Wolf and Martha Hill collaborated on the book.
Right.
She was an art director, publisher for Audubon magazine. Right. And he submitted a lot of work to Audubon at one time.
Right.
And she gave her viewpoint of why she used a picture, and he gave his viewpoint why he might have wanted to use a different picture that he submitted to her that she didn't accept.
That's an interesting concept.
Yes. So, and it has a lot to do with composition also, and So when I picked it up back in the 90s, it really enthused me with the things that you could do to get people's attention right. to the photograph and keep their attention. So that actually, I just went to a seminar he had down in Manhattan 2 weeks ago, I think, right. about a little while ago. He's a very inspiring nature photographer.
Right. Know, yeah. Did you get a chance to meet him?
Oh, yes. Got him to sign a book that he did, you know, right. but not this book. But I wanted to thank him.
Actually. You should have walked up to him and said, art, autograph. And then he'd be like, sure. And then just sign your book and give it to him.
I wanted to tell him how he affected my, and thank him for that
right.
book.
Right. Okay, now, your next song, I didn't know if it was an album or a single, but we'll find out very soon, is Wind on the Waters. Now, who is that by, and what does the song mean to you?
David Crosby and Graham Nash, and it's actually almost, at times, could be a tearjerker of a song, because it's a... It's a song to the whales and endangered mammals that they are, and how we haven't, I guess we should have treated them with better respect over the years.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's basically just a ode to the whales, and it's just an inspiring melody.
I'd never heard the song, I'll be honest with you, but when I did listen to it, It was a lovely song. I actually texted that to Mike when I was talking to him. I said, I'm just listening to, you know, the song Winds in the Water. And part of, it was a lovely song.
Yeah, part of the song has, in the background, has whales talking to each other.
Right.
Making noises. It's yes. Hey, do that. That's a Scottish whale. Sorry.
That was a blue whale. that's a sperm whale.
Good heavens, man.
Sorry. That's a killer whale.
Where did you get him?
dear. Sorry. Shall we listen to the song?
Down,
That was Wind on the Waters by Crosby and Nash. Great song. Loved it. It's a beautiful, beautiful song. Now, we're coming near the end, so I want to talk about one of your items, Fran, which is a picture. But it's not just any old picture, is it?
No. It's a picture of my mom and dad when they were young, very young.
Right. Do you want to say any more about it?
where are they? What are they doing?
Well, my father passed away when I was 17, basically died. You know, died in my arms when I was 17. So, to get off track maybe a little bit. I felt as though he never got the dessert in life. He just worked very hard.
Right.
And yeah, but my mom lived to see me have a book signing at a movie theater packed with people that came to my book signing. And I dedicated the book to them. And she very nicely asked me, "Why did you do that?" And I said, "Because I'm smart." She was very proud. It was nice for her to see that I was doing well, you know.
That's really nice.
Yeah, my father was into photography a little bit, so that kind of got me interested somewhat when I was young.
Right.
So, you know, my mother talked about that he always liked photography, but he didn't pursue it. And my story is very similar, that I didn't pursue photography even though I was interested in it for one reason or another. I didn't or couldn't. And until I moved here about 30 years ago and temporarily moved here into Catskills. And I figured I had no ties, and I figured I'd try to do as best I could, see how far it would take me or I could go with it. And that's where when I started winning some awards. And,
right. Well, that's a great story. We had, you know, but you know, the first person that's told us that they came up here for a visit and never left. We had one other guest, David Peskin. He said the same.
That's right.
He came up for a visit. David Peskin.
I know David.
You know David.
Yeah.
And he decided that he was never going back. And I think he said it was about 30 years ago. Maybe the two's come up in the same train. Now, your last song, Fran, is Same Old Lang Syne.
Yeah, that's by Dan Fogelberg.
Yeah.
One of my favorite artists. I used to see the Eagles and him playing together.
Right.
But anyway, you're going to ask me what it means to me, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, why bring that song?
Ex-lovers, that
right.
Women, that relationships that I've had
right.
Over the years. Bumping into somebody after many years, whether in my head or in memories, something brings back a memory of an individual. And my ex-wife, Kathy, she put up with me spending a lot of money when we didn't have much money on film, and right. taking 500 pictures of the same sunset and coming and showing them to her, and we couldn't buy groceries, and I'm buying film, and that, and she actually about 5 years ago, I was able to connect with her again. Actually, she found me on the internet, and I was able to sit down with her and thank her for investing in me
right.
and in my photography over years ago when I, but and then it, basically the song is.
Pays homage
brings
to that.
Tears to my eyes when I hear it, especially around the holidays.
Right.
I can get pretty soupy with it, but
I was listening to the song, right, and I was thinking to myself, like, the guy went out to get something. He must have said to his wife, "I'll be back in 5 minutes," and then he sat in the car, right, and he drank a six pack with this Old Flame for 2 hours, right. God knows what happened, and. And then I'm like, then he drove home. So he drove home 3 beers in, if they had 3 beers each, and he'd been away for 2 hours. And lo and behold, I read that he'd been married 3 times. So I wonder why. Let's hear the song. Yeah.
Christmas Eve, I stole behind her
That was Same Old Lang Syne by Dan, help me out, Frank.
Fogelberg,
thank you.
A nice Irish lad.
Yes. Actually, his mother was Scottish.
Oh, how do you...
I read it.
Oh, I thought maybe you...
I didn't know her. No.
You knew Dan Fogelberg.
Actually, I met his mother outside a shop. We shared a beer.
At the checkout stand.
No, but his mother was Scottish, and I think his father was from somewhere else. I think it was maybe Sweden or something. But that song, where he grew up, he died in his early 50s of prostate cancer. Dan did, yeah. And they actually renamed the street where... He was sitting at that store in that town in Maine and actually named it after him. After he died. Yeah. So,
well, yeah. It's been a great show. Fran, thanks so much for being a guest. We just have one last question for you.
Oh, this ought to be good.
How do you take your coffee?
Usually unfrozen.
Yeah, okay, don't make cold coffee. Yep.
That is the first time anybody said that.
Medium.
Medium?
Yeah.
Medium roast.
Yeah. A little sugar.